Welcome back to episode number 258 of the Dust Safety Science Podcast. This is the podcast for building a global community around process safety and industries handling combustible dust. I'm your show host, Dr. Chris Cloney, and we are very fortunate to have on Robert Comer, author of the book, Explosion Vented Equipment System Protection Guide. And we're going to be talking about protecting equipment from dust explosions on today's episode and on next week's episode of the podcast as well. Bob, welcome to the Dust Safety Science Podcast.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
I'm really excited to have Bob on the podcast. He reached out a few months ago to talk about this book that he released. I immediately, because I'm a sucker for anything, dust explosions, that's in the written word. So I immediately went and purchased it once it was delivered. I'm about a third of the way through the book now. And it's really good for understanding how to protect systems from dust explosions, understanding that just because you put a vent on it or explosion protection system on there, that the equipment must meet certain structural requirements in order to actually protect that explosion. And what I really liked about Bob's book was that it gives the details on how to actually do some of these assessments, which you don't really find in a lot of books about dust explosions. And that's why after talking back and forth with him, we said, well, let's do a couple podcast episodes on this so we can inform the audience about it and also encourage them to get the book as well. So that's what we're going to be covering in this episode. We will have links in the show notes at dustsafetyscience.com/258 for this episode. That's number 2, then 5, and then 8. We'll have links to the book in that as well. In the episode, we're going to go through Rob's background, why he wanted to release this book, and why he thought it was needed in the world. We're going to talk about some of the parts of it. So this week, I think we're going to probably break this into two, but we'll see how we go today. I think this week we're going to focus on structural analysis and design for reinforcing dust handling systems. We're going to talk about that, give some case examples in today's podcast, some of the material that's in the book and some of the discussion around that. And I think next week on the podcast, depending on where we end up here, we're going to talk about explosion relief and protection systems from dust explosions, and how they play an integral role with understanding the equipment response as well. So Bob, I've kind of yakked on long enough on my side. I had intended to read your bio from the back of the book, but then I flipped the book over to read the cover again. So I didn't do that. So maybe I'll let you share a bit of your background and work in industries handling combustible dust, so the audience has a good idea what you do.
Okay, thank you. My name is Bob Comer, licensed professional engineer, a life member of the National Society of Professional Engineers. And a little background. As a young man, I was a sergeant in the Marine Corps. My job was disarming mines, booby traps, and blowing things up. I've come full circle now from blowing things up to keep things from blowing up. And my favorite subjects were thermodynamics and stress analysis. So that's been carried along my whole career. Background has been rocket engine design, biomedical sciences. I was a site engineering manager for M&M Mars, now Mars Wrigley. And how I got into the dust explosion business, while at Mars, we had a minor dust explosion, a sugar dust collection system located in a room with an explosion relief wall to the outside exploded. The burst disc released hot gas into the room. No people were allowed in the room while the equipment was operating. Panels in the explosion relief wall opened up and vented the hot gas outside. Fortunately, the room was cleaned after every shift, so there was very little residual dust on surfaces that could have been produced, that could have produced a secondary explosion. I called in Hazards Research Incorporated, very well known in the field, to investigate, and they found that a metal grid platform inside the dust collector used for standing on while changing filter bags was not grounded and caused a spark. I noticed a crack in the dust collector wall and decided to analyze the system. I found that the explosion was mild and could have been worse, causing a catastrophic failure. I designed reinforcing for the dust collector and the screw conveyor that was on the discharge of the dust collector. I also added an explosion relief duct to the outside. When I retired from Mars, Hazard Research asked me to consult on analyzing dust collector systems, especially on systems that had already exploded. I consulted the Hazard Research for the last 25 years, analyzing over 200 systems worldwide. So that's how I got into this business. When COVID arrived, I used the downtime to write the book, to reach out to as many facilities as possible. Most companies have an idea that a dust collection system is a bomb in their facility. All dust is potentially explosive, not just sugar and starch, but even carrot dust, peas dust, anything. You must need an explosive mixture and an ignition source. Dr. Cloney and Dust Safety Science can attest to the extent of the problem, and it's taking a long time to resolve.
I couldn't agree more, Bob. And I got a couple points here I wanted to circle back to. You were worried that we wouldn't fill the entire time of the podcast, but I'll tell you right now, I could fill the entire time of the podcast just with a discussion of that sugar dust explosion and grounded platforms and mild explosions versus maximum KST explosions. But I think we're going to get to all that later on. Okay. I want to circle back because you probably don't know how close our backgrounds are, except I was at a computer a lot more than you were, I think. So I was in defense research for 10 years before getting into combustible dust, simulating mine explosions, both above ground mines and underwater mines. And I did a lot of rocket engine research. We had a computational fluid dynamics code that we used for explosions, but could also be used for designing aircraft and propellants and all that sort of stuff. So I spent a good chunk of my time looking at the thermodynamics and physics of explosions from a, it was still prevention. We're Defense Research and Development Agency in Canada. So we're still trying to protect stuff, not blow stuff up. But once I moved into industrial safety, I thought dust explosions are going to be easy. That's where I started my thesis research, my master's, and eventually transferred into the PhD program. I thought after doing detonation and shockwaves and all this high explosive stuff, that the world of industrial safety would be way easier. Turns out you add humans into the mix, industrial safety and things are totally different. And then even the physics and chemistry are quite a bit more difficult for technical reasons than detonations and shock waves. So I just want to share that on the podcast. Some of the listeners would know some of my background, but I wrote down as immediately where you said landmines and working in defense, that's kind of my background as well before industrial safety.
That's great. Thanks for sharing.
I'm going to circle back to things like grounded platforms and this mild explosion at some point. It might be this week on the podcast, it might be next week, but both of those are, I've got a lot of thoughts on those, but I want to get into some of the other material of the book first. Bob shared his background, you know, many years as a consultant, 25 plus years as a consultant after his work in industry, over 200 sites analyzed, boots on the ground experience on sites with things like sugar dust explosions and assessing, you know, the structural vulnerability of the dust collection system afterwards. And there's a bunch of really good stuff there. Why this book? I mean, COVID happened, so that gave you a little bit of downtime. You were able to stop climbing through dust collectors and systems long enough to think. But what issue in the world did you think existed that you were hoping to solve with this book in terms of combustible dust?
Well, my 25 years of analyzing systems was limited to 200 units. I felt with the downtime from COVID, it was an opportune time to at least get out to many more facilities, get the information out. Most people don't know that they have a bomb in their facility. And I think awareness is very important. I think the book will do that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I was thinking even when I get into it, within the first couple of pages of the book, you break things down the whole book's broken into two parts. So the first half is structural analysis and design for reinforcing dust handling systems. And then the second half of the book is explosion relief and venting analysis. And there's sort of this part of the very first that says, I have the page dog-eared here, but it's something like, if you know that your dust collector has been designed and rated for a given set of conditions under the right approach, and then those, you know, the explosion protection is based on real testing data of the dust in that system designed in the correct way as per NFPA standards, you know, you can skip the second half of this book and just do the first half. If you don't know one of those elements, then there's not really a point in analyzing the structural analysis of the dust collection system. First, you should go to the second half of the book and read the second half and then come back once you know what your explosion parameters are going to be. And you discussed a lot better than I laid out in the book. But I wanted you to walk through why you thought it was good to break it out that way. And while you do that, I'll actually try to pull up some of the sections I was thinking about because I really like the way it was almost a checklist of, some people, if there's a vent panel on a dust collector, it's like, okay, we're done. You know, it's safe. But there's four or five different things you should check about that system before you should even assess whether or not that's safe. And I think that's what you're maybe getting at and breaking into two pieces in the book. Anyway, talk to a bit about that and I'll pull up the section I was thinking of.
Yeah, actually the venting may be fine, but the system is not usually rated for high enough pressure to take the flowing explosive gases. That's the basic problem. I don't know if everyone's aware of how an explosion occurs, but you have ignition, the pressure will rise very rapidly, and it could exceed without venting over 100 psi. That destroys everything in sight. You have a burst element that the minimum requirement that they usually can supply is 1 psi plus or minus a quarter psi. If you analyze a system, especially the dust collector, you got a big box that's a very poor pressure vessel. If you analyze that for pressure rating, sometimes they give it to you on a drawing, sometimes it's in the specifications, but in many cases it was plus or minus 20 inches of water, and that's equal to 0.723 psi. That's less than the burst pressure of your disk. So you have a problem. You have to reinforce the system. And the 1 psi is not your flowing pressure. It will rise up to a P sub red, which is the explosion flowing pressure. That can be from 4 to 10 or more psi. So you've already got a problem with structures.
Yeah, and I want to go into that because the structure, I've never seen a book break it down like this. You have a picture of a dust collector, and the example that's in the first chapter is analyzes the sidewalls just as thin metal membranes, analyzes the roof, analyzes the hopper. Then we get into latches and stuff that we'll talk about later on in this episode. So I want to kind of walk through some of those pieces of it. But I found this section that I really appreciated. It's on page 3, but part 1 introduction. So part 1 of this book, all the stuff we're going to talk about in this episode is covered in part 1 of the book, which is the structural analysis side. How to determine that a dust collector or a dust handling piece of equipment can withstand the designed reduced pressure that it would suffer when a deflagration happens in that system and when it's vented using whatever venting's on that system. That's the structural analysis piece. But in the book it says, I really appreciated this. This part, so part 1 on structural analysis, can only be used before part 2 if the following design criteria are available. It says, drawings of the system and materials of fabrication, dimensions and wall thickness. So if you don't have your process safety information about that dust collector, you need to get that before you start to look at this design stuff. The process material is stated with test results from explosibility analysis that are done, I'll paraphrase, done to the standard testing conditions. Somebody just did a test in a Hartmann tube. That's not going to be enough. If you pulled the data just out of a textbook, it's likely not going to be representative of that material. So you don't have a good P-red understanding if you haven't tested your material. Number 3, the explosion vent has been sized and its location established. It should have a vent and should be there. And then step 4 is, in here it also says, but you need the design documents. You can't just have any vent. It needs to be the right vent for that material and the right vent for that volume of system to get the P-red value that you're thinking will come out of that. So it's like, you need your testing results. You need to know what the thing is that you have the explosion in. Is it steel? Is it aluminum? What's the material properties? What are the lengths of the sidewalls? You need to have your design system. Like, okay, we put venting on here, but what, who designed it? What was their thought process when they did that? And, then other things, if you're adding in ducting, if you're adding in flameless venting, increased back pressures and that all need to be considered. But it was really refreshing at the very start of this to say, okay, you can and should look at your structural analysis of your system. But you need to make sure these things are right first before you even get to that. And if you don't, then go to part 2 of the book. And if you have all those things in hand, then kind of start at part 1. And so I kind of appreciate that when I went through and I underlined it a bunch and dog-eared that part of the book. Any comments on your side, Bob? What do you see? So you did, over 200 site assessments. Was it common to have all these materials ready, or did you have to go in and gather this material up before you could even start to look at that dust collection system?
Well, most material was not ready. The only thing that was ready and known was the burst element. You usually had the rating for that, the size. You usually had the product but the product wasn't tested to give you the KSD or the max pressure ratings. So some of that had to be done. Hazard Research was very good in testing materials. That was one of their main functions. So once you had the tested materials and the burst element, you could then start with the geometry of the system and work backwards and get the PRED and et cetera. But in most cases, information wasn't there, including the thickness of the walls. The general geometry was there. You could measure it or you had a drawing to do that.
Yeah, I'm thinking to an example. I kind of want to keep this on the structural analysis side of things. So maybe I'll bring up this example later, probably in the second version of this episode, because not having that information, like you said, so common. And that's really, there's some real concerns that come up with that. And you mentioned with your dust collector that you looked at the sugar dust, that it was a mild explosion. So if you look at a rate of pressurized curve, what they might call a KST curve, it's a maximum at some point and it's, you know, it's less at other points. So a mild explosion is that somewhere where it's less, but at a different concentration, different parameters, it could have been a worse explosion. So just because your dust collector survived, I think we'll dig into this next week in the explosion protection side of things, it likely only survived because you got lucky at a concentration at the maximum explosion didn't happen in that system. And so I think, yeah, I'll leave it at that for some of the flow dynamics and that sort of stuff, but we'll probably come back to that.
Yeah, it barely survived. There was a crack in the wall, and that was at the mild explosion. So anything greater than that would have been a disaster.
Well, the example I'm thinking of, I've been on site post-explosion, not too far from where I am now in Ontario, and they had explosion vent doors that were just, you know, put on there. And they would, when they went off, they would bend and they would kind of bend them back in place. And so a completely unengineered solution. And like, well, it's fine. The dust collector's great. It's like, well, probably because you're hitting mild explosions, but you get that time where it's dry or it's fine and you get not that mild explosion, but you're somewhere higher up on the maximum rate of pressurized curve. Those unengineered solutions that are on the dust collector may not withstand. You may get a crack in the system and you could get worse. If that crack is facing employees, like back into the building, then that's not good. And also if there's dust in there, which in this case there was, then that'd be enough to cause a secondary explosion. So yeah, the dust collector is fine for that explosion, but for the next one, it may not be, is the point that I was trying to circle around to.
Exactly.
Okay, so enough warnings about when to look at structure analysis, and we'll talk a bit about that next week. What I really liked in the book is that you went a lot of detail on reinforcing dust collection systems. Like you said already, the explosion, the PRED that dust collector is designed for, in a lot of cases, is going to be too much, especially under the worst case conditions for, you know, a standard sheet metal kind of system. So yeah, let's walk through some examples. Like, so okay, what does a company do then? Say they have they've tested their dust, they have the design specs for their system, they know the rating of the dust collection system. Now they want to do some of this evaluation to make sure it's going to hold up. How do they go about doing this process, and what should they be looking at to look at their structural reinforcement for the system?
Yes, you've got to consider this a big box that's very poor pressure vessel. Analyzing the flat thin panels is very simple. And I use Bork's formulas for stress and strain. It's a common book in stress analysis, makes it very easy. And I pulled out the parts just for flat panels from the book and included it in my book with their approval. So you don't have to go through a lot of analysis. You can find out in 15 minutes if your panel's going to take the PRED. If it doesn't take the PRED, it has to be broken down into smaller panels. And that's where the reinforcing comes in. And you can use angles, ribs, channels, structural tubing, anything that suits you and you don't mind using. It's easy to size the beams to break these panels down into smaller panels. And the book goes into detail on that. Anyone can do it. And the welding of the stuff on there doesn't have to be continuously welded, which would be very costly. It can be done in intermittent welds. So it's very easy to reinforce these systems. The book gives you enough analysis where you can analyze the main box to the cone on the bottom. There is a stress problem on that joint that can be reinforced also. The roof is usually a thin panel that has to be reinforced. And if you have a screw conveyor leaving the system, the bottom of the dust collector, that screw conveyor has a very thin panel on top, and that's vulnerable to the explosion too. That has to be reinforced. So the book gets into all of those details.
Yeah, and that's the part that I really like, how the breakdown is done so simple. Dust collector is just a bunch of thin panels, I guess. So you went through a structural analysis book, brought in the thin panel section, that if we have a thin panel, worst case conditions, it's fixed on all sides. What kind of stresses build up in that panel, depending on size? And they're all hand calculations, or they can be done in a table in there in the book. And if your panel's too big, then it's going to have too much stress at that worst case explosion. And you do analyze it by the roof and then the four sides. And if you need reinforcement, then it just explains in very simple language how to put that reinforcement in. You need to reduce your panels so that they are smaller. And then you talk a lot in the book about the different methods you can use. And this is out of my wheelhouse from chemical engineering background, but you know, angles and tubing and whatever you can use, whatever the welds are going to be. You sort of talk about all those different elements to practically implement this stuff in the walls. And then you talk about the hopper and you talk about through conveyor, and it's just really walking through point by point. Okay, we know our reduced pressure, or I think you call it the reduced flowing pressure in the book. How do we reinforce this dust collector so that it can withstand that pressure at the end of the day? And I I'm using pretty plain language and simple to sort of walk through and visualize, you wrap your hands around. Any other examples of this that you like? I want to go into access doors and hatches and or hinges and latches and stuff as well, and a couple other points here. But any examples you can think of from your experience about this reinforcing? I don't know, where they thought it was going to be a big job and it turned out, you know, not to be, and then they had an explosion and it was able to withstand. Like, I was trying to put this in context for the audience. I didn't prep you for this, so you may not have the examples fresh in mind, but is there some sort of cases that you think would be useful for the audience to draw from here?
Yeah, there were a couple examples where we reinforced the system. They did have an explosion, and there was no deformation of the material of the system. So it did its job. One other item is cylindrical dust collectors. They're very good pressure vessels, but it usually has a flat top that's vulnerable, has to be reinforced. And every access door, square or round cylinders, I found needed reinforcing, because the access door is normally pulled in by suction. And when you get an internal pressure, they haven't designed it for much of a load. The hinges, the latches, or whatever is bolted shut tends to fail. So that's really the most vulnerable piece, I think.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So we have access doors, hinges, and latches. I think they probably all sort of combine together. I'll give a couple examples for folks. Way back in episode 78, so we're talking 4 years ago almost, with Dr. Suzanne Smith from Exponent at the time, we did a case study of a grain dust explosion in a milling facility. And in that case, that was one where the access door blew off. In that case, it was an unisolated explosion, propagated through several hundreds of feet of ducting, so very high turbulence, very high pre-pressure. Dust collector couldn't withstand it, but that's what broke was the access hatch back into the building. In this case, it blew off the back side of the entire building. No secondary explosion, which was good, but just that pressure release into the building was enough to take out the corner of a five-story building. I know several cases of access hatches being the failure point. I know some dust collection manufacturers that test their systems to destruction, which is really good. That's what you should do. And what they found was that's where they failed. I think they broke it down to like a $3 part for the hinge on the door or something. This big expensive dust collection system, when they tested destruction, that's where it failed on these small parts. There's a couple other case studies we've done on the podcast over the years where the failure point was the access hatch. I'm thinking one we did in a fiber dryer in Italy, which I can't quite find right now, but I'll pull one in a minute, where the problem with access hatches is they're generally where people can be, right? You put an access hatch where a person can exist. You don't put an access hatch where a person can exist. So the problem with them being the failure point is that's where a fireball ejects from when explosion happens. And many times that fireball impinges on employees because you put access hatches where you want people to be at the end of the day. So they're at least be able to get to at the end of the day. You probably debate whether or not you should have people in that area or not. So yeah, I want to give some background on access hatches being the failure points. Bob, from your experience, hatches, latches, hinges, how do we identify if these are going to be strong enough? And then what do we do about it once we figure, okay, well, this thing needs to be made stronger?
The book covers latches, hinges, reinforcing the panel of the access door. I get into DESTACO toggle clamps. It gets down to the detail of actual analysis of the pieces of the door. So it's all covered in the book.
Yeah, and that example that I mentioned of the dust collection company testing to destruction, it was the same thing. They just had a part. That part wasn't strong enough, so they just replaced it with a stronger hinge, and then it was able to withstand that. The case study I pulled up, I found it here. It's a nylon flock explosion in the textile industry. That was back in episode 76 of the podcast at dustsavescience.com/76, where I talk about that nylon flock dryer explosion. In that case, now I'm thinking about the access hatch blew off and injured one employee. And then the explosion propagated through the ducting back to the dust collector, and it blew off at a junction. And it was the junction between the dust collector and the duct that was going into the dust collector, and that corner weld or seam or joint blew out as well, and a big fireball ejected out of there and actually injured some employees as well. So I think you talk about that in the book as, in addition, these weak points, right, where you're going to have stress buildup. So corners, those sort of areas as well.
Yes, even the flanges of the duct that carries the hot gas outside, when you shoot that gas out, you have a reaction force that's several thousand pounds.
Yep.
And that's reacting on the flanges, it's reacting on the stability of the dust collector. All of that has to be considered. And one other point, if PRED exceeds 15 PSI, normal analysis is not going to be allowed. It has to be an ASME code analysis. In that case, you need a PE to do it. And only analysis that we've got in the book can be done by any engineer in a company and doesn't have to be licensed.
Got it. Yeah, we talked a bit about that with Bryn Johnston on the podcast back in episode 243. He talked about non-destructive evaluation to verify vessel PRED. You talk about this a bit in the book as well, but that was like, it's actually along similar lines of what we're talking about here, and is addressed in your book. But you just talk about practically how do they go in and assess. So they're measuring thickness, which you talk about, and they're looking at other things like the pressure vessel code in order to understand what the dynamics are on pressure vessels. So I think actually that podcast episode and this book are pretty good companions to look at this topic.
Well, that's good.
I think that's probably pretty close on the structural analysis side of things for today. We talked through, you know, some different elements of it. And I want to come back on the podcast next week and talk about explosion protection and some things like host keeping. I want to come back to this grounding and bonding of platforms inside dust collectors or anything inside of collectors as well. That's an interesting area. But in terms of structural analysis and design for reinforcing systems, any other considerations you think people should be looking at that we can close out the episode with today?
Yes, the explosion vent duct, blast deflectors, anything like that, they have to withstand the PRED pressure and flowing pressure also, but they can also induce a higher pressure because of the friction in the walls or a bend at the end, 45 degrees. All of this reflects back on the dust collector. So these are considerations that have to be considered.
Yeah, basically anything that's changing the dynamics of the gases flowing out of that system. So I give it a real straightforward example. If you bolt the panel on, so it no longer opens, well, you're really restricting it. If you put that dust collector by a wall, then you know you're gonna have more and more back pressure the closer it is to the wall. If you put a deflector plate on, you're gonna increase that back pressure. And all those need to be included in that design document. Just having a vent panel on there or explosion door that was, you know, manufactured and put on without thought to the actual pressures that we generated isn't going to work. You need to have those things figured out and have somebody take a look at it.
Right. That's exactly right.
Great. Well, this has been a really interesting podcast episode for folks in this area. Like you've heard Bob say a couple of times, this book is really meant for folks we're going to talk about actually a bit about qualified people and stuff next time in the podcast, but it's meant to be digestible with anyone who has an engineering background, certified, license, or otherwise, so that they can start to understand their systems. And I know Bob made a really good point in the book about this. And even when he's talking on the podcast here, he was able to analyze 200 systems in 25 years. If we could teach some other folks how to do at least this when it's applicable, maybe we get 2,000 systems, you know, over the next 25 years through Bob's work analyzed, which would be a lot to, you know, a factor of 10 higher. So I appreciate the work that he's doing. I look forward to having back on the podcast next week, Bob. Any closing words out for this week or anything to end off with?
In a couple of facilities, there were multiple dust collection systems. And they assigned an engineer to me. I did the analysis on one system, presented a report, spent a couple hours with the engineer. He was able to do the rest of the systems. So they didn't have to pay a consultant to come in and do that. So it is usable by a standard competent engineer.
And we are seeing that model more and more. People were really resistant to it at the start of the most recent DHA dust hazard analysis work, but you're seeing that more and more often where there's more of a collaborative and co-working effort. Sometimes there's like a review. So the engineer, the qualified person will actually review, the person that has experience in these systems will actually review the reports that are generated, ask questions, probe, make sure there's, you know, all the elements are considered and keep kind of building that experience up. And we need that because there's not really enough people out there today that have as much experience needed. Like if I could magically get everyone to listen to this podcast and they all realize they need to analyze their system all at the same time, then today we don't have enough experienced people to analyze all those systems. So we need to be able to give more tools to folks to be able to do that are, you know, available and tenable for them. Awesome. Well, let's leave with that for today, Bob. Thanks again. And we'll have you back on the podcast next week. I look forward to covering the rest of the book then.
Hey, I want to thank you for this opportunity and wish you the best in safety sciences in eliminating this dust problem. It's something that's long overdue.
We're working at it. We gave ourselves a 20-year window when I started the company. 1 year with zero fatalities worldwide. At least 1 year. More would be great. At least 1 year with zero fatalities worldwide by 2038. So talking about it was and still is step one. That's what we got the podcast. We're actually getting ready for our conference that will be a few weeks past by the time this episode comes out, but it's next week at the time recording. So getting this sort of information out there is a big piece of this. So I want to say thanks again, Bob, and we'll be talking soon.
Yeah, thank you. Take care now.
See you now. You've been listening to myself, Dr. Chris Cloney, and Bob Comer. We've been talking about protecting equipment from dust explosions. In particular, this book that Bob released pretty recently, covering explosion-vented equipment systems and their protection. And like we talked about in the podcast, we talked a bit about Bob's background, starting in, you know, Sergeant Marine Corps, starting in the background of mine and fence industries and explosions, before getting into more of the industrial safety side of things. Quite an extensive background in industrial, like in industry itself, where he's seen dust explosions occur, and then extensive career as a consultant, 25 years looking at these systems. In the episode, we talked through a couple different elements here, and I'll hit on sort of the major points. There's two parts to the book. The first part is structural analysis and design for reinforcing dust handling systems. That's kind of what we talked about today. If you know your PRED, your designed PRED, and you have a dust collector in front of you, how do you understand that that dust collector is going to withstand that PRED? It's broken down really simply in the book into a method just to break the dust collector into its components. So we have flat walls, you have a hopper, you have other things like screw conveyors or anything that's kind of attached to that, and analyze them one by one to say, will this pressure load cause too much stress on those systems and cause them either to form or rupture? And you can kind of break that down in a really simple way, figure out, okay, does it need reinforcement? And then how, you know, what sort of reinforcement does it need? And that's the structural analysis component. I also mentioned, we'll talk about this next week as well, how the start of the book has a part two and says, really, you know, do part one if you know all these things, but if you don't, then go to part two. And the things that you need to know are, what material is the dust collector made out of? What's its current condition? Does it have any holes? These are all indications that the structural analysis are probably gonna, you know, not work out that favorably. Do you know the materials that are in the dust collector? Have they been tested so that you have your maximum pressure, maximum rate of pressure rise, size normalized maximum rate of pressure rise, your KST? These are all going to go into the design of the venting system. Do you have vents on it? Are they in the correct locations they were designed for? Or is it placed in a location where it's can vent effectively and safely, not into space where people are, not against the wall where back pressure is going to be an issue? And is there design documentations on that venting system so that you understand what the person that put it in there was thinking when they designed it and what it's actually spec'd for? And then you kind of match up to what's actually there. So there's kind of a checklist in the book talking about these different things you want to look at before even assessing, okay, under these conditions, then we know what the deflagration is going to be in this dust collection system. Can we look at the structural analysis side of it and what kind of reinforcements needed? So again, we'll include links in the show notes at dustsafetyscience.com/258. We'll include a way to contact Bob there. We'll also include some links to the book at Wiley with the publisher and also at Amazon. I encourage people to go check it out. Like I said, I go a third of the way through and pretty impressed with practical information that's available in here. And then the distilling the years of experience from Bob into these pages is really helpful as well. We're going to have Bob back on the podcast next week talking through part two, explosion relief and protection systems. We're going to talk about some other things around this for explosion safety in relation to equipment. So as always, I want to say thank you for listening to the Dust Safety Science podcast. Hope you have a safe and productive week ahead. I appreciate everything you're doing. Industry's handling combustible dust, making it safer with the work you're doing out there every day. Keep it up.